What's going on, everybody? It's your girl, the Priestess, Never Your Mistress, right here on Conversations with the Priestess, the Not Safe for Work edition. I know this may be posted around midnight, going on Saturday, that you may be all getting this late. I did record this episode on Friday night. My week was very busy, and your girl needed to rest in the midst of adulting, because adulting is ghetto as hell. And sometimes your body needs rest. A wise person once said, it is okay to rest. And they rested on the 7th day. And that was Mother Earth, because she said, girl, I got to rest sometime, okay? And it doesn't help that it's currently raining here in the DMV. And the rain does something to me. The rain puts me in a mood. The rain makes me want to cuddle up with some hot tea. And since it's fall coming, some pumpkin spice tea. Don't judge me. I love pumpkin spice or some green tea or hot chocolate and just relax and watch a movie, listen to some smooth jazz, take a little bit of herbal remedy and just breeze through the night. Want to play some soft music. Be like, nice like this, I wish that raindrops would fall. Raindrops will fall. And I swear I just said Wayne. But needless to say, that's the mood that I'm in. But in these Twitter streets today, fellow DCite, music history buff, advocate for the community, this brother uses his platform to educate y'all on music, politics, law, no holds barred. This man, Kevin Michaels, y'all check him out. His links are posted below where you can find him. I absolutely love his work on YouTube. Y'all subscribe to this Black content creator. But he said something that was very important today. Well, on this past Friday, he said, there's always someone in the wings waiting to steal your joy. I don't believe you heard me. From the book of Twitter handle at Give Me a Beat, chapter 1, it says, there's always someone in the wings waiting to steal your joy. Well, what does it mean by there's someone in the wings stealing your joy? Have you ever found yourself celebrating a win, celebrating a job promotion, or celebrating the blossoming of a new relationship? And when you share that with a person, they quickly blow that high of joy by bringing negativity, either, or they're saying something to just, they're always looking for a time to steal your shine. Be careful of these people. Be careful of these people. These people could be friends of yours. They could be people that work with you. They could be people that you go to church with. They might even be your own pastor. But they will steal your joy. Prime example, I have been in a situation with religious leadership right before the pandemic happened, to where I was getting gigs at various open mics. People were wanting me to be on their podcast. I was getting bookings to do voice acting things. And it was requiring me to require more time doing work and not necessarily being available for ministry purposes, which that happens. We got to work. We got to eat. However, I noticed every time I had a win, they either heavily critiqued what I did or found a way to make me feel guilty for progressing my career. They even used the tool of prophecy to speak against it, or they would make me feel guilty for something that I'm not, quote unquote, performing well in. If you're dealing with people like that, they're only doing that because, one, they're projecting their insecurity on you. Number two, some people may try to use that to manipulate you, because they want to control what you do. They also may do that because it's not benefiting them and they cannot ride your success. But whatever the reason that they are doing it, They are just waiting for time to steal your wings. And then there's some people that are just waiting to try and sabotage you just because that's what they like to do. Some people may do that because of pure jealousy. Some people may do that because they've been hurt or scorned. But whomever or whatever is doing the stealing of your joy, kick them out of your life. Set them boundaries. Say, hell no, I'm not going to let you steal my joy anymore, because your joy is sacred. Your joy is important. Baby, instead of stealing my joy, go find your own joy somewhere. Go work on your own self. Work on your business. Work on your anger issues. Work on your insecurities. Stop projecting that shit on other people, because it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary and it's dumb. But don't let nobody steal your joy. If you find yourself in these situations, baby, leave. I understand sometimes it's hard to leave, but baby, make your plan of exit. Don't let nobody know what you're doing. Make your plan of exit and get the hell out of Dodge. You'll see what happens when you really start living for yourself and start blocking unnecessary people out of your way. You will see a big change in your life. And that's it for my Talk to Priestess moment. Let's clear the airway. So now that we've cleared the air about these people that like to steal our joy, one of the joys that I have gotten this week actually has been rediscovering myself. I've been rediscovering myself in fashion, and things that I like all over again. Because sometimes with life, and when we're in various circles of people, especially for a lot of us who are deconstructing from religion, we lost ourselves in people that were around us, and we lost ourselves to spiritual circles. And when you're healing, you are reconnecting with who you are as a person. And I've been reconnecting with myself sexually as well. I have discovered that I absolutely love being submissive. And that's a part of me that I used to be scared of. I used to be scared of my own sexuality. And what had me scared of my sexuality was religion. Religion had me so scared of my own sexuality, because we were taught about Sodom and Gomorrah and how allegedly they were performing oral sex on people and having anal sex, and it was considered homosexual, and they claim God condemned it for homosexuality. When you look, that one where God destroyed that city, go research it for yourself. I'm not going to do Bible study. But also, me being a queer child, doing what was termed gay acts, that was demonized as well. And even ideas concerning sex outside of marriage, fornication, adultery, all of that shame. And it really didn't help that I couldn't get answers as to why was this so against God. We was just told God hates it, it's unnatural, it's wrong. But I'm like, you got to give me something better than that. How is the sexual act harming people? And of course, religious people who deny science will often say, because you had sex in the wrong way, that's why you have STIs, STDs out there, which is so stupid. It's so much to explain, but I'm not going to get into detail. But that made me scared of my own sexuality. However, I always found space to embrace my sexuality regardless, because I knew my relationship with the divine. And one of those ways that I've been reconnecting with myself is really enjoying my self time, my me time. And I'm not gonna lie, Self-pleasure and self-love is one of the funnest things to do in that sexual awakening. Oh my gosh, because you discover, even in your imagination, of what you have as your fantasies, per se. Now, I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to talk about the time to where I fasted from masturbation and ish for 3 hours. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about that. We're going to take a quick break. And we're back. Now, I talked about self-discovery with my sexuality and edging. I used to be scared because of religious reasons. But I also feared judgment from community and from other Black people until I found out that some of my closest friends are some of the kinkiest ass motherfuckers I ever want to meet. And I love it. I love it. And I've also been, again, using FetLife to connect to other people. But one of the areas of my kink and my sexual prowess that I've been exploring more is the submissive bratty side of me. The bratty side is the one that loves to push their dumb's buttons, that loves to go against the grain. However, how it works. Let's say for me, I work in customer service and I'm always giving directions to people and directing this and directing that. And also, I'm also a content creator, so I have to stay in control of my schedule. I have to make sure I'm on task. And sometimes I just want to let go and just let have. And I'm what you call a switch or versatile. I like being dominant, but I also like being submissive. And for me, as a brat, I'm going to give you the technical definition. A brat is a consensual role the submissive takes on because they enjoy being a little bit of an asshole to their dominant partner, also stylized as dame. So for basically me, I like being a little diva with my partner. I playfully get on my dom's nerves. And for me, how I do that is I like talking shit. And my mate be like, stop talking shit because you know what's going to happen if you keep talking shit to me. And some ways that people do, like let's say they do it with house chores. They'll be a little playful, be like, don't leave your socks on the floor because if you leave your socks on the floor, you're going to get in trouble. I'm going to spank you. And you always tell the brat what the punishment is. Like for me, I like being spanked. I like being spanked and I find it fucking fun to be spanked. And also, I like for my dom to control me with one of my remote control sex toys. Reason being is it's just the excitement I get by my partner being in control and just pressing a button while I'm sitting here trying to clean or watch TV in peace or even, you know, while I'm trying to just relax and enjoy my blunt. I like that. And I like when they talk to me, oh, that's for all that shit you was talking earlier, or that's for leaving your sock on the floor. You know, stuff like that, that, you know, that whole being straight up disobedient, being disrespectful as hell. But for me, mine is basically I like talking shit to my partner or being just flat out rude. But of course, I know how far to take it. And that's one thing about my being a brat and having a dom that's loving this. It's setting those boundaries, setting what and what I don't like, what and what is a trigger for me. Because also when you're doing BDSM or kink play, you have to be cognizant of your mental health. If you're not in a good place mentally, you might not want to engage in this type of play, because you want to make sure that you're mentally sound, because sometimes there could be certain triggers for you. You have to make sure that your play partner is aware of those triggers. Also, if you have certain fears, for me, I don't like to be touched in a certain way, in a certain area. I have to tell people that, you know, especially if it's certain areas that may be a source of trauma for me due to certain instances that have happened in life, I make that person aware of that, that I'm uncomfortable with that because of this reason. Always give your boundaries. And again, it's consensual. It's not like you're talking shit to this person and they're being abusive. No, because if you want your mate to choke you, tell them how to choke you. Don't. For those who are experienced, you know how to do that. If you don't know how to choke someone during play, don't do it at all. But you don't, you know, just wrap your hand around their neck. No, you do it from the sides to where it's safe, to where you're not actually cutting off their wind, you know, just applying light pressure. But you don't want to injure anybody. You don't want to injure anybody doing that, but make sure that it's consensual and pay attention to when that person is uncomfortable, because you don't want to end up catching a case because y'all decided to get kinky. This is something that I've been really exploring, and I can't wait to play on this weekend with my partner, because I have some things in mind that I do want to do and try. I also am getting into the fey plague. Like, my inner goth girl is starting to come out, and I actually want to do a goth role play where I am this princess and my partner is this demon, or this quote unquote shapeshifter, that's trying to get my goodies. And I really want to play into that. That's where I've been really exploring myself, because again, I used to be scared to do this, but also I was scared people was going to look at me as crazy, because when you start talking about kink, fetishes, and BDSM, people that are unlearned or uneducated about it will tend to think we have issues going on and we're acting out some sick fantasy because mommy and daddy didn't love us. Sometimes mental health plays a part in that, but I'm going to bring some experts on here in coming episodes to really talk about that as well. We talked about this in a FET group that I'm in, and I'm going to talk to some of the individuals there that would love to be a part of this. So, but if y'all want to find me on FET Life, y'all know where y'all can find me, okay? Y'all know where y'all can find your girl. You know where you can find your girl. And so while I'm in this sexual exploration, I also am reminded of the time, I think this was about 2012, 2013. I can't remember, but all I know is I was living in South Carolina at the time. And at this time, I was pastoring. And of course, I had long broken the stigma about masturbation being a sin, masturbation being a problem, because I could not find any reasonable evidence as to why masturbation was the issue. And of course, people love to use the scripture of Onan, where he was supposed to impregnate his sister-in-law, but because he ejaculated on the ground, the Christian God struck him dead because he ejaculated on the ground. And sometimes that is the scripture used for masturbation, because it's not being fruitful and multiplying, when in reality, sex is supposed to be pleasurable as well as for reproductive purposes. Like, come on. And with all of that in mind, I felt ashamed about masturbating, but it got to some point to where, like, bitch, I haven't gotten struck down yet. So middle fingers up to the competition. So I had gotten really comfortable with myself, and I was still had, of course, a long journey to go in exploring myself, as I hadn't yet started my transition. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to fast for about 2 weeks for masturbation. And then on the final day, as a treat to myself, I'm going to edge for 3 hours. We're going to see what happens. So for this 2 weeks, I did not masturbate. I did not masturbate, and I fasted because I had a convocation coming up and I was scheduled to preach. And I was scheduled to do a lot of big things. So in the Christian faith, I decided to give up something that I enjoy, and that was masturbation for 14 days. So in the process of this, I didn't eat meat. I rarely drank soda. I was eating clean. I was drinking plenty of water. I wasn't looking at porn. I was in my Bible. And I was just doing all the things that good little Christian girls was doing at that time. So fast forward. It's the last day of my fast. I have ended the fast. I'm like, okay, bitch. I had a few hours before I had to go to work, and I had the house to myself. I said, I'm going to pull out my porn. I'm going to pull out my cheeky boy, which was my anal vibrator, my prostate vibrator. Ooh, I'm sorry. My cheeky boy was my anal prostate massager. And I said, I'm just going to edge it for 3 hours on and off. So at first, I was like playing around in my basketball shorts, because at the time I didn't wear underwear in the house. I still don't wear underwear when I'm at home, unless I necessarily have to, unless I have company and they're not a nudist like me. But at the time I didn't have on any underwear, and I was just getting off on the fact that my erect girl dick was rubbing against my drawers. So I started using my basketball shorts to kind of play with my dickhead a little bit. And then I would stroke myself until I felt myself about to come, and then I stopped, which is the object of edging, is to hold off on ejaculating, letting it build up to give yourself one of the most intense orgasms ever. So I went on edging. However, during my edging session, I would take a break. I would go pee. I would stretch. I would iron some clothes to get ready for work, like make sure I had my stuff ready for work. And then I would continue edging. And because I had mapped out my time enough to where I would have a little bit of a nap time before I had to head to work. So I continue edging some more. Then I finally use my cheeky boy. I used that and was just edging and just edging and just edging. And after a while of edging with the cheeky boy, I finally said, this is it, bitch. You bought the nut. Next thing I know, I let the nut go. Nut shoots up in the air, all up on my chest, in my face. It hits my headboard and it hits the wall. And I'm like, oh my God, what? I had held that in for 14 weeks. Mind you, I didn't have any wet dreams or anything like that. If I did have any wet dreams, I maybe had one or two, but I still managed to like shoot all over the place, and it was a mess to clean up. And from that point forward, that really, really got me into edging. And for a minute, I had stopped edging because with me taking hormones to transition with, it changed my sex drive and it changed how I had sex and how I masturbated. So now that I'm in a point to where I'm further along in my transition, I'm now learning that edging helps me to really enjoy sex a little longer. Edging is another way that I get off. And also, I like edging when I'm using my anal vibrator because it stimulates my lady prostate and it makes the orgasm even more intense. And I like doing Kegels while I'm edging as well, because that makes the, is when you squeeze your PC muscles, that's the muscles right there, like in your gooch area, so to speak. I'm trying to describe it perfectly as possible. I'm going to have links below where y'all can find this. And I want y'all to tweet me, #TalkToPriestess, when y'all listen to this podcast, if you've made it this far. That will let me know if y'all listening, y'all hashtag me, okay? So that, from that experience, I have turned into a leaning edging machine, but also it has allowed me to explore what type of porn I like. And I love the compilations. I've said this before, but I also like foot play scenes, like scenes where they're showing off their souls while they're playing. That is something that gets me off and I absolutely love it. And so right now I'm doing an edging journal on my adult channel. And if y'all want that, my links are below in the show notes. But I'm really enjoying getting back to me. So that's where I've been in my sexual journey. Just really edging it out. Like, oh my gosh, it's so fucking good to edge. Like, do it sometimes. Do it. Like, and I want to hear your edging stories. If you feel comfortable, you can be anonymous. You can use a fake name. But I want y'all to write into me about one of your most pleasurable edging experiences. With that, I bid you adieu. Live, love, and be free. Smooches.